Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Happy Get Over the Hump Day to you. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, getting the people the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night, food industry workers out there serving up the good nourishment early this morning to all my early risers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there getting the people from home to work or getting the kiddos from home to school. I appreciate you tapping in with me. And shout out to all my early morning, late night front loading and rear loading truck drivers out there. And of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right. A lot to get into. We will talk about the Atlanta Falcons as we got some insight as to why the Falcons drafted Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick. We'll get into that in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the Braves. They finally, I say finally like it's been a while. They were on just a 3-game losing streak, not that bad, but they got themselves a win. Offense not quite there yet, but they got themselves a win behind, again, some really good pitching, and the offense did enough and did what they had to do. So we'll talk about that as well. And then the NBA playoffs, a couple of blowouts last night. One didn't really turn into a blowout until the final quarter, but we'll get into the NBA playoff action that went down last night as well. But as I said, we will start with the Atlanta Falcons because last night, again, got some insight to what went behind the Michael Penix Jr. pick. Again, the pick that shocked the world, the pick that was heard around the world, and everybody is still talking about to this day as we are almost, what, it's been almost 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks since the NFL draft. Crazy. And people are still literally giving their takes on it, writing articles about it, and giving their opinions on the topic. So let's get into it. This article came out from ESPN senior NFL insider Jeremy Fowler, who has spent, talking about 2 weeks, he spent the past 2 weeks since the conclusion of the NFL draft. He's been talking to executives, scouts, and coaches throughout the NFL as he's trying to gain clarity on the fits for some of the key members of the 257-man draft class of 2024, including Michael Penix Jr. and his fit on the Falcons. So here's what he had to say about what insight he got about the Falcons drafting Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick. So he says this, quote, "Word began to spread in NFL circles on the Saturday before the draft that the Falcons loved Penix, and to the extent they loved him to the extent that they had Penix ranked as high as number 2 on their overall quarterback big board." So they had him ranked as the second highest quarterback. They had him ranked as the second best quarterback in this draft, only behind, I'm guessing, Caleb Williams. It doesn't specify in the draft, but if I had to guess, I would guess their number one, like everybody else's probable number one, was the number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. So that is high praise. They thought he was better than the number 2 overall pick in Jaden Daniels. They had him ranked higher than the number 3 overall pick in Drake May. So you could tell, according to Jeremy Fowler, the Falcons really, really did love, and he used the word love in there, as I told you too, they really did love Michael Penix Jr. They had him, again, ranked on their big board as the second best quarterback in this draft. Okay, continuing on with what Jeremy Fowler had to say. On April 5th, we all heard this story, we all talked about it. The Falcons brass flew from Atlanta to Seattle to watch Penix throw for a few hours in a private setting, then they turn around and flew home. That tells a lot, end quote. So we talked about this and was like, man, that is very telling. And look, I still don't know. I'm sure they maybe were in the private workout. I think maybe, you know, I have to double check this and fact check this, but I think maybe Roma Dunze was part of that workout as well. So maybe they were watching him, who did fall and was there for the Falcons to take, along with obviously Michael Penix Jr. So they may have been watching him, because I don't think this was, again, it says in here it was a private workout. I don't think it was Washington's pro day. So I don't think Braylon Trice would have been out there. So I don't think they would have necessarily been out there to watch Braylon Trice as well. So it seems like, from what Jeremy Fowler is saying, that they were there to pretty much watch Penix, and then again, maybe Roma Dunze if he was there in that private workout. So, again, for them just to go to Seattle, just to watch Penix, and maybe not even a Dunze, and it seems like not Braylon Trice either, that does say a lot to how invested they were to go see him and how they were to go scout him and get him in a private workout setting. So that does, in fact, tell a lot. All right, keeping it pushing. Jeremy Fowler goes on to say this, quote, "Owner Arthur Blank looms large here. I'm told he fully endorsed long-term stability at the position, which Kirk Cousins at age 35 cannot satisfy to the same degree. Blank had two quarterbacks, Michael Vick and Matt Ryan, controlling his offense for the better part of two decades. Blank is not used to the quarterback carousel." And that is facts. For the majority part of Arthur Blank's ownership of the Atlanta Falcons, he is known to franchise quarterbacks, Michael Vick and Matt Ryan. Because remember, there was only a one-year gap between Michael Vick and Matt Ryan. That was the one bad year of 2007, 2008, and they drafted Matt Ryan in 2008, then he was the quarterback until 2021. So that's all he knows. Arthur Blank knows quarterback stability. And when you get spoiled with quarterback stability, like Arthur Blank and the Falcons have kind of been spoiled with, you don't want to be without it for very long, or you start to get impatient, you start to get frustrated, obviously. And I'm sure these past 2 years with the carousel of Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, and Taylor Heineke has been quite frustrating for Arthur Blank and obviously the Falcons brass. So that I can definitely see why. And again, everybody had their opinions on, oh, that video, was Terry Fontenot trying to explain the pick to Arthur Blank about Michael Penix, about why they drafted Michael Penix? Craig goes, no, 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 no. And this article kind of doubles down on that fact that that video indeed was not Arthur Blank getting an explanation from Terry Fontenot on why they just drafted Michael Penix with the 8th overall pick. And it did turn out to be that actually was Terry Fontenot trying to explain to Arthur Blank how they're going to try and trade back into the first round to get a pass rusher. So it definitely seems like Arthur Blank, according to Jeremy Fowler and other reports we've heard before this Jeremy Fowler report came out, that Arthur Blank was very supportive of the Michael Penix pick all along. And again, I don't see why he wouldn't be. He just went through, again, like we said, after having years, a decade plus of stability with Matt Ryan, having stability with Michael Vick, after having that and having to go through two straight years of just blah quarterback play, he's probably like, heck yeah, the Kirk Cousins ain't going to be here for, hopefully he's here, he ain't going to be here for a long time. He's going to be here for hopefully a good time, but he ain't going to be here for long. We definitely need his successor. We definitely need to plan ahead. So, and look, Arthur Blank, you don't become a billionaire and you don't become as wealthy as Arthur Blank is without doing some planning ahead and some long-term planning. So I'm sure Arthur Blank knows all about that in his other endeavors as well. So I'm sure he was all for the Michael Penix pick. And it seems like he was all along. So that makes sense. Moving on. Jeremy Fowler also goes to say this, quote, and this is the part where I kind of want to pose a question to you, and you can let me know at underscore Dylan Matthews. He says, quote, I do think the coaching calendar played a factor in Atlanta's decision to sign Cousins, even while continuing to scout quarterbacks in the draft. By the time Raheem Morris was hired and fleshed out his staff, the Falcons were pressed against free agency. Cousins was viewed as a sure thing, but the final 4 to 6 weeks before the draft is when coaches put their stamp on drafting and scouting, which helps explain why Morris and his staff would also zero in on Penix. So this is the question I pose to you. If the Falcons could have maybe hired Raheem Morris faster, if the Falcons would have hired a coach faster, whether it was Raheem Morris or anybody, let's say specifically Raheem Morris because that ended up being the guy and they obviously liked Penix and because they drafted Penix. The Falcons hired Raheem Morris faster because they did have a thorough head coaching search that lasted a good bit. They hire him faster and they have more time to scout and get ready and they weren't pressed right up against free agency. Do you think they still sign Kirk Cousins? Or do they just go with Michael Penix off rip and not even sign Kirk Cousins? I think it's an interesting question. You can let me know at underscore Dylan Matthews on your thoughts about that. But good insight there from Jeremy Fowler. And it's definitely interesting to talk about and see kind of what all went into the Falcons falling in love with Michael Penix and drafting him with the 8th overall pick. All right. When we come back, what I'm in love with is the Braves scoring some runs and winning a ball game. And that's what they did last night. They take down the Boston Red Sox in the friendly confines of Truist Park 4-2. We'll talk about it next. 5 minutes from now here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy Get Over the Home Day Wednesday. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working round the clock to get the people the good treatment, medicine, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers out there serving up the good nourishment early this morning for all my early risers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there. Getting the people from home to work or getting the kiddos from home to school. Appreciate you tapping in with me on my early morning, late night front and rear loading truck drivers, all my early morning, late night bus drivers, and all my people listening in the bed right now as well. The Atlanta Braves, they put just enough up on the board to get themselves a win. 4-2, they beat the Boston Red Sox last night. And look. Offense not completely out of the slump like they need to be, but look, a win is a win is a win. The Braves needed it. They got it. And I feel like you could tell a little bit by the game last night that it felt good for them to be back at home, back in front of their home fans after what was already a long West Coast road trip, three-game series against the Mariners, three-game series against the Dodgers, but with the way they were playing, it probably felt even longer than that. So it just seemed like it felt good and was just a nice big, we're back at home. We're ready to get some wins and get things back on track. That's what it kind of seemed like. It was kind of felt like last night by watching the game. But Reynaldo Lopez, it was same old for him. He was looking good yet again, solid night. For Reynaldo, went 5 1/3 innings, only giving up 6 hits, or I should say only giving up 2 runs on 6 hits, and one of those runs was earned, the other one was unearned because he came out with the guy on base and Aaron Bummer came in and ended up giving up the run, so he wasn't in the game when that run actually scored, so that's technically why it was unearned, but it was still a run counted to him, but even though he did give up 4 walks. That was kind of a lot. You want to definitely not see that number continue to go up or stay there. You want to see that number go down, obviously. But he struck out 5, so that was good. And look, it was solid. Braves only give up 2 runs. You feel good anytime you're giving up 3 runs or less. And so Reynaldo Lopez, that's another good outing for him. And he gets himself the win. So actually, I don't actually think he got the win because I think the game was tied when he came out, or that actually tied the game. So, yeah, he didn't actually get the win. So that was unfortunate for him. Joe Jimenez actually ended up getting the win. So Reynaldo should have gotten the win. But, look, he was good, and his ERA, I believe, remains under 2. So, hey, it's all good for Reynaldo Lopez. And I'm sure as long as the team win, he's quite all right with whether or not he gets the decision. But Jarrett Kelenic, he had himself a good night last night. Maybe he's going to be one of the guys that starts heating up and really starts being a heavy contributor to this team. He goes 2-for-2 last night, had a two-run home run that initially gave the Braves the lead in the third inning, put them up 2-0 after Travis d'Arnaud got hit by a pitch. So he goes yiggity, he goes yard, and then with the game tied at 2, Boston right-hander Justin Slayton walks Ozzie Albies and then gave up a single to Austin Riley to open up the eighth inning. Then Marcelo Ozuna, the big bear. It wasn't a big fly, but he came up with a big base hit. He had a grounder get through the infield that got home Austin Riley, and got home Ozzie Albies. Then Austin Riley advanced to third on that play, and then Orlando Arcia grounded to first, and that extended the lead to 4-2. And that was all she wrote. That was all the Braves needed. So look, again, the Braves only getting 7 hits last night. It doesn't still fully feel like they're out of this offensive slump. But look, they'll work their way out of it. 4 runs, you still like to see that. You saw Jarrett Kelenic go yard, you like to see that. And hopefully the runs will start coming in a little bit more of bunches here for the Braves, and hopefully you'll start seeing more guys get some hits. Ronald Acuña Jr. got a hit last night. Austin Riley had 2 hits last night. That's good. Matt Olson had a hit. Marcelo Ozuna, I told you, had the go-ahead RBI single. And Jarrett Kelenic goes 2-for-2. So it's starting, hopefully, to come around. And CJ Nikowski, the Braves color analyst for Bally Sports and former pitcher for the Braves, he was on with the morning shift yesterday, and he talked about how there has been good, hard contact being made. And not only has the Braves faced some very good pitching over the last 2 series, if you want to go back the last 3 series, the Cleveland Guardians had some good pitching. The Braves were just hitting well at that time. But against the Mariners and the Dodgers, where they struggled, the Mariners have a very good pitching staff. Their pitching staff is deep. Now, they can't really hit worth a lick in that show because there were a lot of low-scoring games in that series. But they got a really good pitching staff. And then with the Dodgers, obviously they're good. You had to face Tyler Glasnow, who's really good when he's healthy, and he's been healthy this year, obviously. So the Braves have faced some really good pitching. They've had a little bit of bad luck, but they've been making hard contact. And you just feel like they're going to get out of it at some point, obviously. And when I say get out of it, you feel like they're going to get out of it sooner rather than later. So hopefully the Braves, last night was a sign of things to come. And hopefully they can get up to 6 runs, and maybe even 5 runs. Who knows? Or 7 runs. Hopefully they can score some more runs tonight and get themselves a win and get a quickie sweep against the Boston Red Sox tonight and complete that sweep, and then head to New York and build up their lead against the Mets and continue to try and track down the Phillies and get that NL East lead back. But as far as tonight goes for Braves and Red Sox, Chris Sale going to be back on the mound for the Bravos, and Nick Pivetta is going to be on the mound for the Red Sox. Pivetta is 1-1 on the season. He's been really good. Sub-1 ERA. His ERA is 0.82. Chris Sale's ERA at 3.44 right now, but he's been really good over his past 3 starts. Pivetta, by the way, has only pitched 11 innings thus far this season. Chris Sale at 36. So, you know, he's had Pivetta, to, again, his credit, has had a couple of good starts, but he hasn't pitched, obviously, as much as Chris Sale or any of these other starting pitchers have. So the numbers are a little crooked in that regard. But still, he has started off his season pitching well thus far, and hopefully the Braves can turn that around and beat up on him tonight. But first pitch set for 7:20, and again, the Braves looking to get right back on the saddle and continue their winning ways, and hopefully they can get themselves a little winning streak going. The Braves did not gain any ground last night, speaking of which, on the Phillies. Phillies won. They beat the Blue Jays 10-2. So, again, like I said, the Phillies have a little bit easier of a schedule than the Braves do as far as the month of May goes. So Braves are going to have to do what they can to keep track and hopefully they can, again, continue to get themselves a win. By the way, Marcelo Ozuna with his go-ahead RBI last night now leads the league in RBIs. He's got 34 ribbies already this season. And it's been good to see, even though the home runs aren't coming at as high of a clip as they were to begin the season, it's still good to see him. I mean, we saw him hit a home run against the Dodgers. He obviously had the go-ahead RBI last night. It's not looking like he's going into any sort of slump. He's leveled off for sure. He's not white hot like he was, but he hasn't, I wouldn't necessarily call it cooling down. I more so call it cooling off. I mean, not cooling off, excuse me, leveling off for Marcelo Ozuna. So look, we'll take it because the Braves, again, need all the offense they can get from every single person on that roster. So we like to see it. Braves, again, get back on the winning side of things. Take down the Red Sox. They'll be back at it tonight, try and get themselves another win against the Boston Red Sox. Quickly here before we take a break, I do want to mention Atlanta United. They got themselves a little bit of a bounce back win against Charlotte Independence. This was a U.S. Open Cup match. If you remember, the Five Stripes won it in 2019, I believe it was. They won the U.S. Open Cup. And it was off for a few years because of COVID. It came back in 2022. Five Stripes lost in the round of 32 to Nashville. But they came back this year, took down Charlotte Independence 3-0, scored all their goals in the second half. Nick Firmino had himself a second-half brace. He scores in the 52nd minute and the 71st minute. And then Daniel Rio scored in the 85th minute. And against Charlotte Independence, a USSL club, Atlanta United didn't – look, it's no shade, just truth, but I'm going to be straight up. Atlanta United didn't really need a first-choice lineup against Charlotte Independence. So they were able to let some guys rest, still able to get the win too. So that was good to see. You know, it was just good to see them get some goals. The game was not at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, by the way. It was out in Kennesaw at Fifth Third Bank Stadium, but either way goes, good to see them get the win. So if you just real quick give you some stats, shots were 22-7 in favor of Atlanta. They had 17 shots from inside the box. Shots on target 7-2 Atlanta. Possession 65-35 Atlanta. Key passes were 17-0 Atlanta, and XG expected goals was 2.59-0.2 in favor of Atlanta. So pretty dominant performance by Atlanta United. And again, you expect that against, again, you don't want to say a lesser club, but this was a club you were supposed to beat in Charlotte Independence. So they'll move on to the round of 16. Atlanta United will, and they will either travel to Statesboro or Charleston for that U.S. Open Cup round of 16. It's going to be on either May 21st or May 22nd. And yes, we will have it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your flagship station in your home for every single Atlanta United match, including U.S. Open Cup matches as well. All right, when we come back here, 5-6 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, two blowouts, nearly almost the same score. Looked a little bit different, though, but I think one was telling, one not so much. I'll explain when we come back. We'll talk some NBA playoffs here momentarily, right after this on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there riding around and getting it. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers working around the clock to get the people the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for the early risers this morning. Shout out to all my people in their buses riding around and getting it, getting the people from home to work, getting the kiddos from home to school. I appreciate you tapping in with me. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear loading truck drivers. Shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. The NBA playoffs continue, and there have been some really good games. There have been a couple of clunkers. Last night, more on the side of a couple of clunkers, to be quite honest. Celtics and Cavaliers faced off in their round two matchup. It was game one of their round two matchup, and the Celtics did kind of what we all expected. They just kind of handled the Cavaliers. It was nothing really exciting in the game. Cavaliers were never really in it, it felt like. And it was just the Celtics handled business. To be honest, I really don't know how else to describe it. Now, I will say this. Let me be a little bit more fair. The Cavaliers, they weren't necessarily out of it. It was a 10-point game at halftime. So they weren't out of it by the half. It was a 10-point game, but it just felt like the Celtics were in control the whole way. Then in the third and fourth quarter, Celtics pulled away even more. They outscored the Cavs by 10 in the fourth quarter, really pulled away then. And again, I think the Celtics can maybe get a game. I think the Celtics are good for a game where they just shoot badly from three because they live and die by the three so much. There's going to be a game where they kind of give to you. We saw it when they took on the Hawks last year in the first round. I mean, there was a game they shot just so poorly from the three-point line. I mean, the Hawks were able to take it, and then Trey got them a game as well with the game winner. And so that's how the Hawks were able to push a six last year. It could be the same situation for the Cavs this year. Maybe Donovan Mitchell wins them a game, and then the poor Celtics three-point shooting gets the Cavaliers a game as well, and they push a six. I could definitely see it happening like that. I could also see the Celtics getting one, getting this series in five as well. But I don't think this series goes longer than six, and I think the Celtics take it in probably five. That's my prediction. But Donovan Mitchell was good, 33 points, 12 of 25 from the field, 4 of 11 from three. Not the most efficient night, but he did what he had to do. Darius Garland, 14 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 of 8 from three, 6 of 15 from the field. Darius Garland's going to have to be better if they want any shot to win. It can't be Donovan Mitchell by himself. And Darius Garland's going to have to be a star. He can't really just be a role player for this team. He's going to have to really show out and show up. 14 points ain't going to get the job done. Isaac Okoro, 11 points, 3 of 8 from the three-point line, 4 of 11 from the field. Evan Mobley, 17 points, 8 of 12 from the field. Max Strus, only 5 points. He's going to have to shoot the three ball well, too, if the Cavs are going to try and do anything in this series. And then they're going to need some more help off the bench, too. Karis LeVert can have to be better than 4 points. George's Niang is going to have to be better than 4 points. Marcus Morris Sr. is going to have to give them some more 3-point help as well, too. So they're going to have to keep up with the Celtics scoring-wise and 3-point shooting-wise. And they did not do that last night, only shooting 26.2% from the field. Celtics shot 39% from three. And I'm sorry, I think I said from the field. Cavaliers shot 26.2% from three, 41% from the field. Celtics shot 39% from three, 48% from the field. Jaylen Brown had himself a good night last night. 32 points, leading scorer for the C's. He was 4-6 from three, 12 of 18 from the field. Efficient night for Jaylen Brown. Derek White had himself a good night, too. He's a really good player, man. And that really kind of hurts because I know that year he got traded from the Spurs to the Celtics. I think the Hawks were interested in getting him and maybe that second team that was close to getting him. The Celtics obviously got him. It would have been so nice to have Derrick Brown on this team, but is what it is. Anywho, Derrick White, 25 points, 9 of 16 from the field, 7 of 12 from 3. Jrue Holiday, 14 points, 6 of 14 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3. He had 6 rebounds as well. Al Horford, Big Al, still kicking. 7 points, 8 rebounds, 3 of 7 from 3. He had a 3 as well. Jason Tatum, he was more a facilitator last night. Didn't shoot well, but he passed the ball. He had 5 assists, 11 rebounds, 18 points. He was 0 of 5 from 3, 7 of 19 from the field. So, look, if they get the output from Jaylen Brown they did last night and they get the output from Derrick White, Jason Tatum isn't going to have to do too much. They also got 16 points off the bench from Peyton Pritchard as well, so that was good for them too. So, I mean, again, the Celtics, they're just such a good team. They're pretty deep, well-constructed. I just don't see the Cavaliers being able to keep up with the Celtics, to be quite honest. I got the Celtics in 5. Moving on to the game in the West last night. Oklahoma, your Thunder are thundering. They stay undefeated in the 2024 playoffs. They beat the Mavericks last night 117-95. Celtics won 120-95. Thunder won 117-95. Almost had the same score last night. Pretty crazy. Anywho, Thunder did what they had to do, handled business at home, got the job done. And that game was actually pretty close until the fourth quarter. The Mavericks were within, I think, single digits, definitely at least by 12 at one point in the fourth. But Thunder kept them at arm's length and got the job done. Jalen Williams had a big fourth quarter for the Thunder. He had a couple of big threes, finished the game with 18 points, 2 of 5 from 3, 6 of 15 from the field. Chet Holmgren had himself a nice game as well, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 8 of 16 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 29 points, 8 of 19 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. They got 16 points off the bench from Aaron Wiggins and 11 points off the bench from the other Jalen Williams. And he had 11 points off the bench. So, look, Thunder did what they had to do. They shot well, too. They shot better from three than they did from the field. 45% from three and 44.9% from the field. So it's hard to beat a team when they're cooking like that. But look, I do think this Mavericks team will bounce back. Luka Doncic, he struggled. He had 19 points on 19 shots. That is not good. It's not efficient at all. Kyrie had 20 points. 7 of 14 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3. Daniel Gafford had 16 points, 11 rebounds. P.J. Washington only had 10 points, 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. Probably want to get him involved a little bit more. Derek Jones Jr. only 7 points as well. He had a 3. They did get 11 points from Josh Green off the bench. The Mavs did. So I think the Mavs will bounce back. But the Thunder showed me something last night, though, that I know it was off game for Luka and not a huge game from Kyrie, but Thunder showed me something last night. Celtics, they didn't really show me anything. They handled business like that's what I was expecting. But the Thunder showed me something last night because I was expecting a closer game, especially in game one. Thunder are ready for the moment. This young team is ready for the moment. And I may have underestimated the Thunder. My gut wants me to go with the Mavs. My brain is like, yeah, we might actually want the Thunder here. They have home court advantage. They're playing really well. And this is a team that plays together. They all really like each other. You see them all doing the interview, post-game interview together, barking woo, 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 at the end of the post-game interview. So I'm starting to lead towards the Thunder. I know it's only game one. You never overreact to a game one. So that's why I think the Mavs, more experience. I think they still have the best two players in this series. But I'm not sure at this point if they're the better team. I think the Thunder have a little bit more balance and talent. I think they have a little bit more depth. I'm starting to lead towards the Thunder. Let me know if I'm tripping, but I'm starting to lead towards the Thunder as far as how this series is going to go. Hey, quick, real quick NFL news. NFL schedule, we all thought it might be coming as soon as tomorrow. It's not. The report is the NFL will release the full 2024 schedule on May 15th. So we got to wait a little bit longer. It's supposed to maybe drop May 15th at 8 p.m. That's from Ben Fisher of Sports Business Journal. Tyler Boyd, by the way, going to the Tennessee Titans, joining Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, and the Tennessee Titans. And Carson Beck has surpassed Shedeur Sanders as the betting favorite to go number one overall in 2025 draft. It'll be great to see a Georgia Bulldog quarterback go number one overall. So we're rooting for you, Carson. You're going to have a pretty good season, though. So we'll see what happens. But quick NFL headlines for you here on a hump day Wednesday. But when we come back on the Hometown Take, we'll wrap things up here on a hump day edition of the show. And we will hand things off to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Wednesday edition of the morning shift right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there riding around and getting it. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers working around the clock to get the people the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for the early risers this morning. Shout out to all my people in their buses riding around and getting it, getting the people from home to work, getting the kiddos from home to school. I appreciate you tapping in with me. Shout out to all my early morning, late night, front and rear loading truck driver. Shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. The NBA playoffs continue, and there have been some really good games. There have been a couple of clunkers. Last night, more on the side of a couple of clunkers, to be quite honest. Celtics and Cavaliers faced off in their round two matchup. It was game one of their round two matchup. And the Celtics did kind of what we all expected. They just kind of handled the Cavaliers. It was nothing really exciting in the game. Cavaliers were never really in it, it felt like. And it was just the Celtics handled business. To be honest, I really don't know how else to describe it. Now, I will say this. Let me be a little bit more fair. The Cavaliers, they weren't necessarily out of it. It was a 10-point game at halftime. So they weren't out of it by the half. It was a 10-point game, but it just felt like the Celtics were in control the whole way. Then in the third and fourth quarter, Celtics pulled away even more. They outscored the Cavs by 10 in the fourth quarter, really pulled away then. And again, I think the Celtics can maybe get a game. I think the Celtics are good for a game where they just shoot badly from three because they live and die by the three so much. There's going to be a game where they kind of give to you. We saw it when they took on the Hawks last year in the first round. I mean, they just there was a game where they shot just so poorly from the three-point line. I mean, the Hawks were able to take it, and then Trey got them a game as well with the game winner. And so that's how the Hawks were able to push it six last year. It could be the same situation for the Cavs this year. Maybe Donovan Mitchell wins them a game, and then the poor Celtics three-point shooting gets the Cavaliers a game as well, and they push it six. I could definitely see it happening like that. I could also see the Celtics getting one, getting this series in five as well. But I don't think this series goes longer than six, and I think the Celtics take it in probably five. That's my prediction. But Donovan Mitchell was good, 33 points, 12 of 25 from the field, 4 of 11 from three. Not the most efficient night, but he did what he had to do. Darius Garland, 14 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 2 of 8 from three, 6 of 15 from the field. Darius Garland's going to have to be better if they want any shot to win. It can't be Donovan Mitchell by himself. And Darius Garland's going to have to be a star. He can't really just be a role player for this team. He's going to have to really show out and show up. 14 points ain't going to get the job done. Isaac Okoro, 11 points, 3 of 8 from the three-point line, 4 of 11 from the field. Evan Mobley, 17 points, 8 of 12 from the field. Max Strus, only 5 points. He's going to have to shoot the three ball well, too, if he's going to keep – if the Cavs are going to try and do anything in this series. And then they're going to need some more help off the bench, too. Caris LeVert can have to be better than 4 points. George's Niang's going to have to be better than 4 points. Marcus Morris, senior, is going to have to give them some more three-point help as well, too. So they're going to have to keep up with the Celtics scoring-wise and three-point shooting-wise. And they did not do that last night, only shooting 26.2% from the field. Celtics shot 39% from three. And I'm sorry, I think I said from the field. Cavaliers shot 26.2% from three, 41% from the field. Celtics shot 39% from three, 48% from the field. Jaylen Brown had himself a good night last night. 32 points, leading scorer for the Seas. He was 4-6 from 3, 12-18 from the field. Efficient night for Jaylen Brown. Derek White had himself a good night, too. He's a really good player, man. And that really kind of hurts because I know that year he got traded from the Spurs to the Celtics. I think the Hawks were interested in getting him and maybe that second team that was close to getting him. The Celtics obviously got him. It would have been so nice to have Derek Brown on this team, but is what it is. Anywho, Derek White, 25 points, 9 of 16 from the field, 7 of 12 from 3. Jrue Holiday, 14 points, 6 of 14 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3. He had 6 rebounds as well. Al Horford, Big Al, still kicking. 7 points, 8 rebounds, 3 of 7 from 3. He had a 3 as well. Jason Tatum, he was more a facilitator last night. Didn't shoot well, but he passed the ball. He had 5 assists, 11 rebounds, 18 points. He was 0 of 5 from 3, 7 of 19 from the field. So, look, if they get the output from Jaylen Brown they did last night and they get the output from Derek White, Jason Tatum isn't going to have to do too much. They also got 16 points off the bench from Peyton Pritchard as well. So, that was good for them, too. So, I mean, again, the Celtics, they're just – such a good team. They're pretty deep, well constructed. I just don't see the Cavaliers being able to keep up with the Celtics, to be quite honest. I got the Celtics in five. Moving on to the game in the West last night. Oklahoma, your Thunder are thundering. They stay undefeated in the 2024 playoffs. They beat the Mavericks last night 117-95. Celtics won 120-95. Thunder won 117-95. Almost had the same score last night. Pretty crazy. Anywho, Thunder did what they had to do, handled business at home, got the job done. And that game was actually pretty close until the fourth quarter. The Mavericks were within, I think, single digits, definitely at least by 12 at one point in the fourth. But Thunder kept them at arm's length and got the job done. Jalen Williams had a big fourth quarter for the Thunder. He had a couple of big threes. Finished the game with 18 points, 2 of 5 from 3, 6 of 15 from the field. Chet Holmgren had himself a nice game as well, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 8 of 16 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 29 points, 8 of 19 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. They got 16 points off the bench from Aaron Wiggins, and 11 points off the bench from the other Jalen Williams. He had 11 points off the bench. So, look, Thunder did what they had to do. They shot well, too. They shot four. They shot better from three than they did from the field. 45% from three and 44.9% from the field. So, it's hard to beat a team when they're cooking like that. But, look, I do think this Mavericks team will bounce back. Luka Doncic, he struggled. He had 19 points on 19 shots. That is not good. It's not efficient at all. Kyrie had 20 points, 7 of 14 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3. Daniel Gafford had 16 points, 11 rebounds. P.J. Washington only had 10 points, 4 of 7 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. Probably want to get him involved a little bit more. Derek Jones Jr., only 7 points as well. He had a 3. They did get 11 points from Josh Green off the bench. The Mavs did. So I think the Mavs will bounce back. But the Thunder showed me something last night, though. That I know it was off game for Luka and not a huge game from Kyrie, but Thunder showed me something last night. Celtics, they didn't really show me anything. They handled business like that's what I was expecting. But the Thunder showed me something last night because I was expecting a closer game, especially in game one. Thunder are ready for the moment. This young team is ready for the moment. And I may have underestimated the Thunder. My gut wants me to go with the Mavs. My brain is like, yeah, we might actually want the Thunder here. They have home court advantage. They're playing really well. And this is a team that plays together. They all really like each other. You see them all doing the interview, post-game interview together, barking woo, 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 at the end of the post-game interview. So I'm starting to lead towards the Thunder. I know it's only game one. You never overreact to a game one. So that's why I think the Mavs, more experience. I think they still have the best two players in this series. But I'm not sure at this point if they're the better team. I think the Thunder have a little bit more balance and talent. I think they have a little bit more depth. I'm starting to lead towards the Thunder. Let me know if I'm tripping, but I'm starting to lead towards the Thunder as far as how this series is going to go. Hey, quick, real quick NFL news. NFL schedule, we all thought it might be coming as soon as tomorrow. It's not. The report is the NFL will release the full 2024 schedule on May 15th. So we got to wait a little bit longer. It's supposed to maybe drop May 15th at 8 p.m., That's from Ben Fisher of Sports Business Journal. Tyler Boyd, by the way, going to the Tennessee Titans, joining Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, Treylon Burks, and the Tennessee Titans. And Carson Beck has surpassed Shedeur Sanders as the betting favorite to go number one overall in 2025 draft. It'll be great to see a Georgia Bulldog quarterback go number one overall. So we're rooting for you, Carson. You're going to have a pretty good season, though. So we'll see what happens. But quick NFL headlines for you here on a hump day Wednesday. But when we come back, on the Hometown Take, we'll wrap things up here on a hump day edition of the show, and we will hand things off to the morning shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Wednesday edition of the morning shift right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.